since my annual message to the Congress on January 4th last, I have not addressed the general public over the air. In the many weeks since that time, the Congress has devoted itself to the arduous task of formulating legislation necessary to the country's welfare. It has made and is making distinct progress. Before I come to any of the specific measures, however, I want to leave in your minds one clear fact. The administration and the Congress are not proceeding in any haphazard fashion in this task of government. Each of our steps has a definite relationship to every other step. The objective of the nation has greatly changed in 3 years. Before that time, individual self-interest and group selfishness were paramount in public thinking. The general good was at a discount. 3 years of hard thinking have changed the picture. More and more people, because of clearer thinking and a better understanding, are considering the whole rather than a mere part, a part relating to one section, or to one crop, or to one industry, or to one individual private occupation. That is a tremendous gain for the principles of democracy, for the overwhelming majority of people in this country know how to sift the wheat from the chaff in what they hear and in what they read. They know that the process of the constructive rebuilding of America cannot be done in a day or a year, but that it is being done in spite of the few who seek to confuse them and to profit by their confusion. Americans as a whole are feeling a lot better, a lot more cheerful than for many, many years. My most immediate concern is in carrying out the purposes of the great work program just enacted by the Congress. Its first objective is to put men and women now on the relief rolls to work, and incidentally to assist materially in our already unmistakable march towards recovery. I shall not confuse my discussion by a multitude of figures. So many figures are quoted to prove so many things. Sometimes it depends on what paper you read or what broadcast you listen in on. Therefore, let us keep our minds on two or three simple essential facts in connection with this problem of unemployment. It is true that while business and industry are definitely better, our relief rolls are still too large. However, for the first time in 5 long years, the relief rolls have declined instead of increased during the winter months. And they are still declining. The simple fact is that many million more people have private work today than 2 years ago today or 1 year ago today. And every day that passes offers more chances to work for those who want to work. In spite of the fact that unemployment remains a serious problem, here, as in every other nation, we have come to recognize the possibility and the necessity of certain helpful remedial measures. These measures are of two kinds. The first is to make provisions intended to relieve, to minimize, and to prevent future unemployment. The second is to establish the practical means to help those who are unemployed in this present emergency. Our Social Security legislation that I have spoken about before is an attempt to answer the first of these questions. Our work relief program, the second. We are losing no time in getting the government's vast work relief program underway and we have every reason to believe that it should be in full swing by the autumn. I think it will interest you if I tell you what we propose to do in directing it. I shall recognize six fundamental principles for this work relief program. First, the projects should be useful. Secondly, the project should be of a nature that a considerable proportion of the money spent will go into wages for labor. Third, projects that promise ultimate return to the Federal Treasury of a considerable proportion of the costs will be sought as far as possible. Fourth, funds allotted for each project should be actually and promptly spent and not held over until later years for the spending. Fifth, in all cases, projects must be of a character to give employment to those on the relief rolls first. And finally, projects will be allocated to the localities or to the relief areas in relation to the number of workers on the relief rolls in those areas. For many months, preparations have been underway. The allotment of funds for desirable projects has already begun. The key men for the responsible major portion of the task already have been selected. I well realize that the country is expecting, before this year is out, to see the dirt fly, as they say, in carrying on the work. And I assure my fellow citizens that no energy will be spared in using these funds effectively to make a major attack upon the problem of unemployment. Our responsibility is to all of the people in this country. This is a great national crusade, a crusade to destroy enforced idleness, which is an enemy of the human spirit generated by this depression. Our attack upon these enemies must be without stint and without discrimination. No sectional, no political distinctions can be permitted. It must, however, be recognized, and I know you will recognize it, that when an enterprise of this character is extended over more than 3,100 counties throughout the nation, there may be occasional instances of inefficiency, bad management, or misuse of funds. When cases of that kind occur, there will be those, of course, who will try to tell you that the exceptional failure is characteristic of the entire endeavor. It should be remembered that in every big job there are some imperfections. There are chiselers in every walk of life. There are those in every industry who are guilty of unfair practices. Every profession has its black sheep. But long experience in government has taught me that the exceptional instances of wrongdoing in government are probably less numerous than in almost every other line of endeavor. My friends, the most effective means of preventing such evils in this work relief program will be the eternal vigilance of the American people themselves. I call upon my fellow citizens everywhere to cooperate with me in making this the most efficient and the cleanest example of public enterprise the world has ever seen. It is time to provide a smashing answer for those cynical men who say that a democracy cannot be honest, cannot be efficient. If you will help, this can be done. I therefore hope that you will watch the work in every corner of the nation. Feel free to criticize. Tell me of instances where work can be done better or where improper practices prevail. Neither you nor I want criticism conceived in a purely fault-finding or partisan spirit. But I am jealous of the right of every citizen to call to the attention of his or her government examples of how the public money can be more effectively spent for the benefit of the American people. Never since my inauguration in March 1933 have I felt so unmistakably the atmosphere of American recovery. But it is more than the recovery of the material basis of our individual lives. It is the recovery of confidence in our democratic processes, our republican institutions. We have survived all of the arduous burdens and the threatening dangers of a great economic calamity. We have, in the darkest moments of our national trials, retained our faith in our own ability to master our own destiny. Fear is vanishing. Confidence is growing on every side. Renewed faith in the vast possibilities of human beings to improve their material and spiritual status through the instrumentality of the democratic form of government. That faith is receiving its just reward. For that, we can be thankful to the God who watches over America.